You are listening to a Colorado Community Church media production. We exist to transform our city and beyond by connecting you to Christ, community, and calling.
We're going to continue on with our spring sermon series, Kingdom Categories. If you have your Bibles, we're going to spend our time in Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13 can be found on page 794 of the Bibles that are there in front of you. Just reach underneath the chair. You should be able to find a Bible there. Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 to 30. If you do not have your own Bible, take that one with you. It is our gift to you so you can grow in the knowledge of God's word. 794, Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 to 30. Follow along as I read out loud. This is God's word. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat as well. Let both grow together till harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn." This is God's word. May it always fill our minds, flow from our lips, and find a home in our very hearts. Following Jesus in a left-right world. That may be the biggest challenge we face when it comes to living our faith in America, that we are stuck in this left-right paradigm. It is the framework of America. And constantly we are being asked, which side are we on? Are we on the right or on we on the left? Are we conservative? Are we progressive? And it's a constant flow into our lives. And even when we're not thinking left versus right, we're thinking left versus right. Unconsciously, we categorize people. Which is why I've been asking you, do you have any ideas, any ways that we unconsciously categorize people? Email me, and you have been emailing me. Keep them coming. I love it. All these different ways that we put people on the right or left. Here's a couple that I received from you. One of you said, you can kind of tell where somebody stands politically based upon what they majored in college. That if you hear they were a business or finance major, you just automatically put them on the right end of the spectrum. But if you hear they majored in English or creative arts, it's called the liberal arts for a reason. You put them over here. Just that's one way that we categorize each other. Someone else here said music. You can tell where somebody stands just by what's on their playlist. If they listen to a lot of country, we put them over here. If they listen to indie rock, we automatically put them over here. Now, hip hop, that's universal. That goes right across. Anybody listens to hip hop, that's across the board. Unless you listen to hip hop while driving your Subaru, then you're back over here. That's four times, by the way. That's four sermons in a row we mentioned Subaru. We're gonna shoot for 11 on that. Because we're constantly doing it. We're constantly figuring out ways to categorize each other. And so what we're doing in this series is simply saying, what if we let go? What if we let go? What would we hold on to if we let go of left versus right? What alternatives are there? And so we are exploring 11 alternative kingdom categories, other ways of thinking about the world in which we live. We've already looked at lost and found. We looked at peace over violence. Last week, we talked about mercy overtaking vengeance because God's mercy is available to all, which is why I want to say at the end of the service, we're going to have a special prayer line right here for any Lakers fans who need some mercy. It's going to be right here for all the Lakers fans in the room. But all who knows, Schadenfreude, it might be coming back at us. That's called revenge. Today, our next kingdom category, it seems simple at first, good versus evil. But we need to think deeply about it. Because when we are stuck in our left-right paradigm, good versus evil, good is simply the side we're on, and evil is the other side. When we're on this side, then that's where the evil is. And in this left-right paradigm, it is just a constant demonizing of each other. And when we do that, I think Satan just sits back with a smile on his face. So Jesus says, I have a story for you. It's a story about the origin of evil. It's a story about what God wants his people to do with all the evil that is in the world. It's a story in which God shares his shocking plan when it comes to good and evil. Where did all the evil come from? Jesus says, there once was a farmer with a field. And that farmer sent out his workers into the field to plant good seed, wheat seed. They planted into the field. But at night, nobody knew this. A rival farmer came and sowed bad seed, weeds, into the field that also had the wheat seed. And as time passed, the wheat grew, and when the heads appeared, the workers also saw that there were weeds in with the wheat. And that's when they came to their farmer and said, didn't you give us good seed? Then how do you explain all of the weeds, all of the bad that is here? And it's then that the farmer gave a simple answer. What's the source of all this bad and evil? Verse 28, simply put, he says, an enemy did this. This is the work of an enemy. And it's here where Jesus is being crystal clear about the source of evil in this world. There is an enemy. There is an evil one, capital E, capital O, roaring lion who seeks to devour, who comes to steal and kill and destroy. And in case we might wonder who that is or might be confused, he makes it absolutely clear later on in the chapter when he explains this whole parable to his disciples. Look at verses 37 to the first part of verse 39. He answered, the one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. He says, have no doubt, the devil is real. Satan exists. There is an evil one. And that evil one sows evil into this world, which is another reason why we have to let go of left versus right. Because when we are stuck on left versus right, versus what the scripture gives us, up versus down, that up here we have the kingdom of God that is coming, but down here we have the kingdoms of this world. And so Jesus says, here's how I want you to think about life down here. The earth, the world is a field. And in this field, there's good seed that was planted on the right, and there's good seed that was planted on the left. But there's also bad seed that was planted on the right, and there's bad seed that was planted on the left. It's everywhere. The good seed is there, but the evil one has sown evil everywhere as well. So then what do you want us to do about it? All this bad seed that's in this world. And the farmer says, well, let's start with what I don't want you to do about it. Look at verses 28 and 29 again. An enemy did this, he replied. The servants asked him, do you want us to go and pull it up? No, he answered, because while you were pulling up the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. And so he says, I don't want you to uproot it. I know it's there in the field. I know the weeds are there. Do you want us to go pull it up? And the farmer says, no, the problem of evil is my problem, says Jesus. I don't need you to try and figure out what you're going to do about all the evil in the world. God says the problem of evil will simply be my problem, because after all, can the farmer really trust that his workers know the difference between wheat and weeds? Do they really know the difference? If they were to go out there and try and pull up all the weeds, would they really be able to tell the two apart? Let's try this. On the left, you have wheat. That's what wheat looks like when it's growing in the field. But there was a weed that was a counterfeit wheat that was known as a bearded darnel that would grow right next to it. And if you put them side by side, it's really hard to tell the difference between the good and the bad, the bearded darnel, it was poisonous. Could they really tell the difference between good and evil? Especially when the scriptures say that Satan masquerades as an angel of light. Are we so sure and confident in our ability to know the difference between the plant that needs to stay and the one that needs to go? If I'm honest, if I were there on this night when Jesus was sitting around the table with his 12 disciples and they were eating this meal together, if I were one of the 12 disciples and there came that moment when Jesus said, one of you is going to betray me, would I have been able to pick the one? Would I have been right about the one around the table who was going to betray Jesus? You know who I think I would have picked? I would have said, I think my money's on Peter. He's just impulsive, so you never know what Peter's going to do. I think it might be him. If it's not Peter, then I'm going to put my money over there on Simon the Zealot. He has his own agenda, and I think he's going to try and push it on Jesus anyway. And if it's not Simon the Zealot, it's got to be Matthew. Matthew, the tax collector. If he would sell out his people, then why wouldn't he sell out Jesus? So those would have been my top three. You know what? I'm not sure I would have picked Judas, the one that Jesus trusted with the money. And I'm positive I wouldn't have picked myself. And yet by the end of the night, all 12 abandoned Jesus. We've got to let go of right versus left, because we have a hard time telling the difference between good and evil. So our default is simply this: good is wherever I am, and wherever I am, it's good. And if you are not with me, if you think different than me, the other side just gets labeled evil. And that means we just have a hard time. If something looks like me and it's evil, then maybe I'm poisonous too. And therefore, the other has to be the evil in the world. And so the Lord of the harvest says, I'm asking you to leave that part to me. When it comes to figuring out which one gets pulled out and which one stays, he says, the problem of evil, that's my problem. After all, even if we knew which one to pull out, it's all in the same ecosystem. It's all planted in the same soil. All the roots are co-mingled together. And so the farmer says, you pull one out, you're going to pull all the others out as well. And so the farmer, the Lord of the harvest, Jesus reveals his shocking plan when it comes to good and evil. It's right there at the beginning of verse 30. Four words summarize it all. Would you read these first four words out loud with me together? Let both grow together. What? Let both grow together. That's God's plan right now. With the good and evil in this world, the Lord of the harvest has declared that for now, it's all going to coexist together, side by side. He has proclaimed good and evil, let both grow together for now. That explains a lot, doesn't it? Doesn't it seem like evil is getting more evil every day? That no sooner do you hear a horrible story about something happening in this world and it just gets replaced with another story that feels even more horrible the next day. Why is that? Let both grow together. There's a reason why evil is getting more evil, why ugly is getting uglier, why greed is getting greedier, why terror is getting more terrifying, why immorality feels even more immoral today. There's a reason why wrong feels like it's just getting wronger. My apologies to the liberal arts majors, but it's wronger. It's just wronger right now. And the reason why is because the Lord of the harvest has declared, right now, let both grow together. But in there is some good news. If evil is growing, if evil is flourishing, it's only because it's in the same soil that was first prepared for the good. The evil is growing because it's in soil that's perfect for the good seed to grow. The evil is growing because it's in a field that was chosen for the perfect sunlight for the good seed and the irrigation system. And because all of that was in place for the good seed, evil's just riding on the coattails of the good. But all of that was prepared for the good to flourish. And so if evil is flourishing, guess what? Good is flourishing as well. This is the perfect time for good to grow. The perfect time for good to, for beauty to become more beautiful, for hope to become more hopeful, for love to become more lovely. Let both grow together, which means if evil grows, then good can grow all the more. That's the time in which we live right now. And every time we look at this passage, let both grow together. It's the perfect time for good to grow. I always want to pause and say, do you see what God is doing with you, Colorado Community Church? Do you see the flourishing of good here in this community? Do you see I've been here, privileged to be your pastor for over 25 years now, and I can't believe that everywhere I look in this mission, there is good growing for the poor, good growing for the hungry, good growing for the lonely. Good is just growing everywhere. We don't just have a field with a few plants. We've got an orchard of good going on here. In a world that is divided up over race, class, and culture, the goodness of us coming together, red, yellow, black, brown, white, purple, orange, young, old, rich, poor, it is good to grow in the soil of the kingdom. And he has declared, both will grow for now. It's just the times in which we live. So did you notice? It doesn't feel like the farmer's upset. Let both grow together. But there's weeds in your field. Let both grow together. It doesn't put the farmer in a corner in a panic attack. What am I going to do? God's not fretting over the way things are right now. And I think there's a couple of reasons why. One, he already has a long-term plan for evil. Go back later in the chapter, you see his long-term plan, verses 40 and 41. He knows ultimately what's going to happen. So it says, as the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, So it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. God's got a plan. He knows ultimately what's going to happen. He's going to send angels who are able to be able to distinguish between good and evil and will separate things at the end of time. So he's not worried because he knows his ultimate plan. But there's another reason why I don't think the farmer is worried. Which seed was put in the ground first? The good seed was put in first. The good seed had the first opportunity of the nutrients of the soil. The good seed had the first opportunity to get the moisture that was there. The good seed had the first chance to receive the first light. Yes, shortly after, evil showed up, but no matter how you count it, good got a head start. Good has a head start on evil. And if they are growing in the same conditions, that means evil will never catch up to the good. And that's what we proclaim today. When we come to this table, we are proclaiming, one, Jesus has dealt with our sin. And if you're carrying your sin around, let it go and start over with God and receive his love. You've confessed your sins, you can start over. But when we come to this table, we're also remembering that death has been dismantled. In the same way that Jesus died and rose from the dead, so we too will die and rise as well. But there's another thing that we celebrate. When we take these elements into our body, we are celebrating that on the cross, Jesus dealt with the evil one once and for all. That at that time and in that moment, as Jesus breathed his last breath, Colossians chapter 2 tells us something was happening on a cosmic level, and that the kingdoms of the evil one had been dealt their final blow. So don't fret. What do we have to worry about? Plants dead, plants growing from a kingdom that is dead. Yes, they look like they're growing, but they're nothing compared to the good seed that is growing in an eternal kingdom of God. So we can spend our time, look at the evil over there. Look at the evil over there. There's evil everywhere. We could focus on that, or we could just grow. And grow and grow towards the beauty of the kingdom of God. This table is for those who choose the way of the kingdom of God. Would you pray with me? So Jesus, our King, the Lord of the harvest, we're in your field. You have planted us here. Feels a little crowded at times as there's evil growing around us. But you put us here first, and you put us here for a reason, to grow in the sunlight of your hope and love, watered by the presence of your Spirit, overseen by your Father. So as we come to these elements right now, we do so as children, as privileged good seed in your kingdom. We will grow for you now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen.